Business Unusual, separating economic facts from fiction.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to tonight's edition of Business Unusual. I'm your host, Takuzwa Chisango, and tonight we are focusing on the export credit guarantees, trade credit insurance, as well as construction bonds that are being offered within the domestic market. So we would want to get a broader appreciation in as far as these financial instruments are of concern. And tonight in the studio, I'm joined by two gentlemen from the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of Zimbabwe. The first guest I'm joined by is Mr. Wellington Siamachira. He's the account executive, bonds and guarantees, as well as Mr. Wellington Gumbo, underwriting manager from the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of Zimbabwe, ECGC. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me on Business Unusual.
Thank you.
Thank you, Takuzwa.
All right, so just getting straight into our discussion, I do understand that most of the listeners who are listening on the program, they might not be aware of your existence as the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of Zimbabwe. Can you give us a picture in as far as the background of ECG? I do understand that you were a subsidiary of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe and you are now under the Mutapa Investment Fund. Maybe you can explain in detail about the background of your institution.
Thank you, Takutwa. Thank you, listeners. Good evening. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation was established in the year 1999, and it started operating in the year 2000. Like what Takutwa said, by then we the shareholder was RBZ until 2024, when we moved to, or when ECGC was moved to Mutapa Investment Fund. As it stands now, Mutapa Investment Fund is the current shareholder. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation mandate when it was established was to provide credit insurance, or to promote exports by providing credit insurance to exporters. And along the way, a number of products were also introduced. These products, which we'll probably elaborate in a moment, but among the products, we also have construction bonds, which I think Takutwa also alluded to. And I think we also have an opportunity to talk on them. So Export Credit Guarantee Corporation has been in existence for the past 25, 26 years. And we have been providing these covers to exporters, which I think it will have helped a number of exporters. This product also covers the local manufacturers who also sell on credit. So what happens is, in case you need to export and at the same time you have a fear of non-payment, that's where Export Credit Guarantee Corporation comes in to help you to cover that risk.
All right. Okay, so looking in terms of your service portfolio, I'll switch over to you, Mr. Wellington Siamachira. Looking in terms of your service portfolio, how big is it? I do understand that Mr. Gumbo indicated about the export credit guarantees that you're offering to the domestic market, but broadly looking in terms of your portfolio, how big is it?
Yes, thank you, Takuzwa, and thank you, Mr. Gumbo, for picking up on some of the products within our service portfolio. I think the first one, the most prominent one that ECGC is probably known for, it's export credit insurance, both on the domestic and on the international market. We also have bonds and guarantees, which are segmented into two fragments. We have construction bonds. We also have customs bonds, which are quite broader. There are quite a number of products within there. We also have our flagship product, which is the MSME credit guarantees, which is a scheme that was established in 2018 by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe in an effort to support SMEs in our economy. Mind you, remember that our economy is largely being
Dominated by SMEs.
By SMEs, yes. 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 And we also have general insurance, which is also a product which is quite broad and is being offered also by quite a number of insurance companies. So we have those for bonds and guarantees, credit insurance, MSME credit guarantees, and general insurance.
All right, so looking on the export credit insurance, how does this work? Can you break down to the listeners who are listening right now, how does this financial instrument work?
Okay, thank you, Tabuzwa. So what happens is we have an exporter here in Zimbabwe.
All right.
Then there's a buyer who is outside Zimbabwe. The exporter needs to sell. Or I think if you check, probably 80% of sales now, they are on credit. So for exporters to be also be competitive, they also need to offer credit terms.
Yes.
They are buyers. So what happens is a local exporter who probably gets a buyer. Then the buyer says, can you give me terms? I can't pay you cash. Or if you insist on cash, then it means the buyer might look somewhere else to get the same product. So there's that risk that after selling on credit, the buyer now fails to pay. So as ECGC, we cover you on the risk of non-payment. So the product covers probably two essential risks. That is commercial risk, which is the buyer risk, and the political risk, the risk which resides with the country, for instance. That probably the people fails to pay due probably to some reasons beyond the buyer. So someone, for instance, might come to ECGC. We also provide them with forms to complete, including the proposal form. Then we also do a due diligence on their buyer, which will also help them probably to know how much they probably can sell on credit for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, depending. And in some institutions, in some countries, they might even sell on credit up to 180 days, 365 days. Though I think locally we really like to sell on cash basis.
All right, so, just to interject you there, Mr. Gumbo, what forms part of your due diligence? Do you work with other, let's say there is a buyer who is in Botswana and there is a supplier in Zimbabwe? For you to carry out that due diligence for the buyer that is in Botswana, do you work with other ECAs that are in Botswana such that you can be able to ascertain the risk that might be inherent with that particular buyer in Botswana?
Yes, other ECAs are also part of organizations which provide us with information. At the same time, we might also have the same buyer in our books. Then we also use Beirut to get information.
All right.
And I think we do have a number of those worldwide. But I think the relationship between ECAs is also to share information, including such. They might have that same buyer. And once we get a buyer, we ask the other ECAs, probably, let's say Botswana, there's bake in Botswana, and someone probably selling to Botswana, they should be able to give us probably a report on that buyer, which will give us probably how the person or how the company or the institution is operating, how well-being it is. Then it gives us on how are they able to pay probably in 30 days, 60 days or 90 days.
All right, quite interesting. Now shifting to you, Mr. Siamachira, I do understand that yes, the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of Zimbabwe, you are rolling out an SME credit guarantee scheme. What is this all about?
Yes, like I alluded to earlier, it was established under the auspices of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, largely to support SMEs. I think after a study that was done, it was established that in the local market, most SMEs are failing to access funding from the formal financial institutions. So then we're tasked to design a product that will help these SMEs to then get funding using a certain financial instrument, which we then carried out a research. I think this product itself is also being offered in other markets, particularly in Asia and other developed markets there. So what basically happens is an SME seeking funding will go to a financial institution, which we have a memorandum of understanding with. Due diligence is carried out on their project. And if the financial institution is then happy with the commercial viability of that particular project, it then applies for a credit guarantee to ECGC to say, we have ABC Limited and they have a project that they are carrying out. They are seeking 50,000. Can you please provide a credit guarantee? This is at the backdrop of them not having enough security to secure that facility. ECGC then comes through and covers that security gap, and an entrepreneur, an institution is then able to get the necessary funding for their working capital needs or capex. And you would find that with this project, we've done quite well. We have supported SMEs in various industries, be it agriculture, be it manufacturing, be it retailing, so to speak.
All right. So looking in terms of the uptake of this scheme, what is the current position in as far as the uptake of the SME credit guarantee?
Yes, as a product that is issued or that is chained out through financial institutions, we have, I think about 10 banks, 10 commercial banks,
right,
and numerous financial microfinance institutions as well as development financial
institutions.
Yes.
All right. So I do also understand, Mr. Gumbo, shifting to you, you are also rolling out part of your service portfolio. You are also rolling out a trade credit insurance. How does this work? And in terms of trying to help the growth of exports within the country, how does the trade credit insurance work?
So how it helps the exporter or manufacturers locally. What it means, someone can venture into a new market,
right,
where probably they don't have a history. But because of that credit insurance, they can send their projects comfortably, knowing that if something goes wrong, they'll get compensation. Then they could also be selling on credit, but to limited on cash, probably because that's what they need, which will restrict the amount they will be selling. But with credit insurance, it means they can increase those sales. They know that after obviously due diligence, we can advise them that yes, we can cover this client to so much, meaning they can increase their amount they are selling, which will also help to increase exports. Knowing that if anything goes wrong, they will get compensation.
All right.
Then at the same time, we are also there to probably give people or exporters, manufacturers, information where they need. Someone might still be thinking that they need to export. I think we should be able to provide that information to them as an advisory service. That in such area, such country, yes, it's safe that they can sell. So it means you can't keep probably your products here, failing to get markets. But because of this product, you should be able to go out there, look for new buyers, come to ECGC, we help you, we export. You get foreign currency, the country gets foreign currency. At the end of the day, everyone wins.
All right. So looking in terms of your relationship, earlier on you do indicated about Becky, which is an ECA in Botswana. Broadly looking in terms of your relationship that you have established with other export credit agencies right across the region as well as the world, what is your relationship like in as far as facilitation of your services that you are carrying out?
I think our relationship is very good. ECGC is part of a grouping of ECAs called BenUA, where usually they meet twice to discuss events happening in the world, how best they can probably increase sales from different countries. We can also help among ourselves, probably to get part of the risks, sharing the risks. So there's BEG in Botswana, there's also ECIC like in Botswana. You think of Sinoshore, everywhere you go, I think Sinoshore is doing a great job. They are trying to get as much probably foreign currency because of Sinoshore, meaning that Zimbabweans, they should be going out there. Our products, it's not necessarily that the fiscal product, even a service, we should be able to provide cover where you go and provide a service out there and you need to be covered. So with that relationship or because of those of that grouping, we are able probably to get information, share risks, and at the same time, get also risks from outside, which will also bring in some from foreign currents to the country.
All right. Moving over to you, Mr. Sia Machira, we do understand that within the local market, we are seeing increased activity in as far as the local construction industry, and the industry is projected to grow by 4.9 percentage points according to the 2025 national budget. Looking in terms of your mandate, your services that you are offering to the domestic market as ECGC, how critical are your services in terms of trying to propel and further spark growth within the local construction industry?
Yes, we have a number of products that are fine-tuned to the exact construction industry, but I would like to talk about maybe bonds and guarantees that we are offering. You see, these instruments are quite essential in unlocking opportunities for contractors. They enable companies to bid for projects, secure funding, assure clients of performance and financial reliability. And by reducing risk, by de-risking some of these projects, ECGC actually helps build trust between various stakeholders, which is generally vital for infrastructure development and the overall economic growth.
All right. So looking in terms of, I do understand that you're offering bid bonds as well as construction bonds. Moving over to you, Mr. Gumbo, how do these bonds work?
Okay, bid bonds, this is an instrument where there is a procuring entity, then there is a construction company or a supplier. You are still still tendering. So the procuring entity will ask for a bid bond, which in the terms are, in case after you've won the tender, you decide not to take up the project for some reasons, not to provide probably performance bond. So they will call up that so that probably they re-tender or probably for the costs which they could have incurred. That's the reason why there is a bid bond. So these bid bonds, they are insurance bid bonds, which are issued like by ECGC, and we also have bank guarantees, and especially here in Zimbabwe. I think all tenders from government entities or should be on a bank letterhead. So we have also partnered banks who also now we take the risk of the supplier or the construction company to ECGC that in case they don't probably take up the contract after winning it, then we pay like the program ended. But with the partnership with the banks, it means these people are able to satisfy the requirements of program ended of giving them bank guarantees. Then on the construction bonds, a bid bond is also part of construction bonds, but specifically under the construction bonds, we do have a performance bond, an advance payment bond, and a retention bond.
All right.
Where someone has already won the contract, now we want to do the works. You need some mobilization funds after you've won the tender. So probably they get 10 to 15% of the contract value as an advance payment. But obviously, the procuring entity will ask you, or the employer, or the beneficiary, they will ask you that in case someone is given monies, then they decide not to do the works. Instead of going to do the works, they buy vehicles, they buy cars, or they just splash it on luxury things. So there is this advance payment bond which will cover that risk that the person fails to do the works or they misuse the funds. So the advance payment bond is there to make sure that funds are not misused. Then the performance bond is just there to make sure that the person, the construction company, the supplier, gives the product which is in the which was in the tender document. It could be building, it could be supplying a vehicle. Vehicles, it could be whatever, but they have to do it up to the specifications. So in case the person does not perform to the required standard, then there's the four big platform of a performance bond. And after someone has done the works, still there's the defects liability period where someone needs to come back probably for some defects, but for some reason someone might refuse to come. So programming entities or the employers, they might decide to, on every payment they'll be doing, they deduct 5 to 10% as part of a retention amount, or they retain 5 to 10%, which they will use in case someone fails to come and on obligations to rectify any defects. But someone might come and get a retention bond now. They get their full amount, and in case the person fails to rectify any defects which will come after the construction works, then they will call upon the retention bond. And once you've paid, they can look for someone to rectify all those ones. So generally, those are the bonds under the construction, the bid bonds, advance payment, performance, and the retention bond.
All right, so looking in terms of performance, how have these been performing in terms of trying to aid for growth and development of the local construction industry?
Yeah, performance, like the construction bonds,
yes.
Generally they help on the creditworthiness of the construction company. Someone gets that, then obviously growing entity will know that they are working with someone who's creditworthy, who has been covered. So it has helped, I think, in a number of transactions across the country where various projects have been being done, either by government, private players, and because of the performance bond, many people have been able to secure or do those jobs. And naturally, no one wants to do a short job.
Yeah.
So this is just to cover in case someone fails to do what is required. And I think if you check, we've paid also a number of performance bonds being caught up where probably someone is not done to perfection, and it has helped to stabilize the construction industry either by way of that we have paid, then the program entity will get someone to rectify. Otherwise, what it means, if there was no performance bond, someone has not done the job properly, then the program entity probably they need to look for more funds to have to rectify where what has not been done well. While else probably they are going to the courts, going everywhere, trying to have this person probably refund, come to work. So this, the performance bond, I think it has helped to stabilize the construction industry at large.
All right. Mr. Siamachira, I do understand that you recently went into a partnership with Cyphos, which I believe is aimed to try and enhance activity within the local construction industry. Can you tell us more about that partnership agreement that you recently signed with the Cyphos?
Yes, thank you, Takuzwa. And as ECGC, we are quite excited about this alliance. Basically, like you alluded to, it's basically an alliance that is there to enhance access to guarantees and insurance products for contractors. We have had a relationship before with Cyphos, but now we're trying to crystallize and bring together our competencies formally and make sure that we provide those insurance products to various players. Mind you, the construction in the Cyphos itself, it's quite a big organization with a number of suppliers and construction firms within itself. So basically, this alliance, it streamlines processes, promotes awareness, and ensures that Cyphos members benefit from ECGC's financial instruments to grow their businesses. So this also enables sharing of notes, knowledge, and developments within the industry, basically to enhance and combat risk within various projects. You know, risk generally, they evolve. So as ECGC, we also saw it fit that we also evolve in our operations by partnering an organization that is in direct contact with some of these construction companies. And we also participate in their workshop and understand how best we can tailor-make our products and our risk instruments to curb the general risk that is apparent in some of these emerging projects.
And to you, Mr. Gumbo, how do you see this partnership further propelling growth within the local construction industry?
I think it should be a game changer. Obviously, to empower our contractors, especially the SMEs, the smaller medium enterprises, who probably were also finding it difficult. Usually, when you look for these financial instruments, people usually ask for collateral security. Some of them they might not have, but probably because of this relationship, we should be able to help where probably we get referrals from Cyphos. We should be able to help those people. Well, those smaller medium enterprises, and this I think it also helped them, obvious, to access the bids, the guarantees, which will also help to foster professionalism, compliance. Because at the end of the day, no one wants to disappoint either ECGC. Wants to support CIFOS, no one wants to support the employer. So it should help, and this also should also help to attract investment and probably delivering quality infrastructure. I think we had the ERRP one, which was, I think, was extended. There were many people probably who were not as big, but now they are now big, and I think with this relationship we should be able to have some smaller guys who come, they grow as ECGC grows, and they also grow, and CIFOS also is growing. So the picture that ECGC want to see from a bird's eye view is more sustainable growth for SMEs, contractors, then taking up critical infrastructure projects where probably someone thinks that they may not, but I think if they come through like CIFOS, we should be able to help, and at the end of the day the economy goes forward.
All right, so looking in terms of these construction and bid bonds that you're offering to the domestic market, what is your target segment in terms of the companies, the level of operation? Are you targeting the bigger companies, or you are blanketly targeting all the companies that are in the construction industry?
Basically, you see the word MSME coming through a lot during this discussion and with ECGC.
Yes.
It shows that we are all encompassing entrepreneurs within the MSME sector, we have big corporates, big construction companies. So really, we are saying anyone who's capable of delivering on some of the projects that are coming through is a target in terms of these financial instruments. So really, we have had quite a number, all sizes really, that are coming through to ECGC to access some of our products. So we are an all-encompassing company. We acknowledge the fact that there is a smaller size, there is also a big size, and we acknowledge that there is interest, there is always faith that we invest in some of these SMEs, so to speak.
All right. I can see one of the messages that are coming on our WhatsApp platform. There's one listener who is asking about the MSME credit guarantee scheme as to how can they be able to possibly apply for this particular scheme, for them to be able to be extended credit by the various financial institutions that you do indicated that you have went into a partnership with.
Yes, so basically they can only access this product through a financial institution that would have a memorandum of understanding, of which quite a number of banks, I think, as I mentioned earlier, we have 10 banks that we have signed a memorandum of understanding with, and we also have quite a number of MFIs. So all that is to be done is for them to present a commercially viable project where they demonstrate that they are invested in the project, and also they are able to then repay back the funds, so to speak.
All right, so you are, in simple terms, you are saying an SME doesn't come through you directly to secure that credit.
Yes.
You go through the financial institution.
Yeah, so someone goes to their financial institution or a bank.
All right.
With a bankable project. Then the bank looks at it. The bank is happy. Then they look to that point. They reach that point where they say, what we need is collateral security. Then, or they need to enhance the collateral security. That's when the financial institution approach ECGC. That we have got so-and-so who needs probably funding for CapEx, working capital, but they lack collateral security. As ECGC, are you willing to provide a guarantee that in case the person fails to pay, then you are there to take up that risk? So the person goes to their bank, the bank is happy, they come to us, and we cover them. So many people or many institutions, probably they have received funding, not knowing that this is on the back of an MSME credit guarantee scheme from ECGC.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, and Takuzwa, still on that, it's also imperative that if they are an SME, they can also go through some SME associations that we also work with. They can also provide information to say, if you are coming short on security, maybe go to this financial institution. They have a partnership with ECGC, and we can then structure something that can actually help them fund their working capital and CAPEX needs.
All right, so you have also went into partnerships with various SME associations?
Yes.
All right. Coming back to the issue of the construction and bid bonds that we have been speaking of quite broadly, what do you want to say to the construction stakeholders that are listening to Business Unusual right now, in as far as their expectations are of concern in terms of trying to enhance their operations as an industry?
As ECGC, we encourage the construction construction companies, those probably have been finding it very difficult to secure bid bonds, bank guarantees, advance payments, performance guarantees, that probably they need to, they can come to us on a direct basis. They can go to our brokers, agents around the country. We are there to help them, that at the end of the day, construction is done. And without any fears, that probably, like I said earlier on, that these instruments, they help on the credit they help to increase the creditworthiness of construction companies. So every construction company or supplier, whether big, small, they should come talk to us, and I think should be able to provide them with solutions.
All right. Then, looking on the issue of the export credit insurance that we touched a bit earlier, out of personal interest, do you work with Zimtrade in terms of trying to enhance or promote exports within the country?
Yes, if you check Zimtrade, usually they do a lot of those trainings, a lot of those things like workshops. They usually ask ECGC to also attend and provide insights on credit insurance. And I think it has helped a number of exporters. I know towards the end, there should be an exporters week. We should also be attending that to also help and give exporters the comfort that go and export. Zimtrade probably has looked for markets for you. Come to us, we give you the cover, then you can export. You know your money will come one way or the other. For your own information, suppose someone fails to pay. Usually, with ECGC coming into the picture, usually the person comes into the buyer, they usually pay. Why am I saying so? We also discussed the issue of relationships between ECGC and other ECAs outside there. So for some reason, someone exported to Zambia, but that same person might also be getting goods from a supplier, let's say in Botswana, a supplier in South Africa, and they failed to pay our exporter here. And probably we advise our other partners, other ECAs, that we have got so and so who has been getting goods on credit, but they failed to pay. It means the other ECAs might decide that they cannot cover that buyer. So for the buyer to keep on getting goods on credit, they usually pay. So besides getting credit insurance, even if someone dilly-dallies, there is always a way that ECGC might come in to help the exporter to get their funds even before ECGC comes in to pay. So I think it is one product which exporters really need to consider, whether they've also gone to Zimtrade, they've received information, but they've got that fear that if I sell on credit, what are the chances that I might fail to get my monies? We are there to help them.
All right. So looking in terms of the partnerships, have you also went into a partnership, let's say, with, for example, CZI, in terms of trying to also provide the services that you're offering to their members?
Yes, we usually attend all their conferences, and we have also have been trying to sell our products, not necessarily selling, but trying to give to their members this risk mitigation product. So we have been doing that, I think, for a number of years. And I think they will know if ECGC is not there. I think CZA will ask, where are you guys? So probably it's not only them. We also have a relationship with other institutions like MMCZ, where they also have mining houses.
Yes.
And those mining houses will also be selling on credit. And we are there to provide cover for those products which can be sold on credit. There are products which might not be sold on credit, but those which can be sold on credit, yes, people can go there to MMCZ. And we also try that if someone's selling on credit, obviously MMCZ will also need that comfort that the money will come. Otherwise, people who export minerals, then the country will suffer getting the forex. So we have also partnered such institutions, and I think it has helped to get the necessary forex coming into Zimbabwe.
All right, quite interesting. So, just as a parting shot, Mr. Siamachira, where do you see your services, particularly given that the Zimbabwean market is now being predominantly dominated by the small to medium enterprises? You are seeing quite a number of developments that are taking place within the domestic market, in as far as SMEs heavily contributing in various sectors, be it mining, manufacturing, agriculture, tourism, among many other key strategic sectors of the economy. In terms of your service portfolio, we touched a lot about the services that you're offering within the domestic market, but given now the composition or the structure of the domestic market, whereby SMEs are now dominating quite significantly, are you envisioning possibly trying to tailor make your services mainly on the SME side, because the market has gone or through that route? Because if you look in terms of the key drivers of the economy right now, SMEs are quite dominant.
Yes. Thank you, Chakuzwa. As ECGC, we see a lot of potential within these SMEs. That's why we sort of come up with products that speak to their pain points, so to speak. Our product, most of our products address exactly those pain points. So as ECGC, we would then want to see those SMEs grow in terms of them being formal, complying with all the regulations, and them being professional, and with the overall view that at some point that they will grow and take up various projects and initiatives within Zimbabwe. We wouldn't want a situation where every other project that is in Zimbabwe, we have to contract a foreign entity or something while we still have the capability within our borders. So as ECGC, we continue to embrace innovation and creating financial solutions to our clientele base. And you would find that not only do we deal with formalized institutions, we also deal with those informal sector players, entrepreneurs, up to the smallest players that are available in the market. So as ECGC, we see so much potential, and we are saying to all stakeholders, please come through and knock on our doors. We are open, and we can craft solutions together. We can draft something that can work and work worthwhile and provide those solutions that you're seeking for. We understand your pain points, and we are there to address them. Thank you so much, Tabu.
All right, and to you, Mr. Agumbo, what are your parting shots as we wrap up our discussion?
I would just want to urge the MSMEs that we are there to provide a solution to them. Construction industry, the construction companies, the suppliers, that we also have a risk management tool for them. Then, for your own information, we also provide an equivalence of the export credit insurance, but for the local market, the domestic credit insurance, where those people who sell credit, they can also come to us and we provide the solution to them. So we are there to help everyone, whether big, small, those who are still intending, they can still come and talk to us and see how best we can help them. Thank you, Tabuto.
Well, that has been Mr. Wellington Gumbo, as well as Mr. Wellington Siamachira from the Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of Zimbabwe, as we're discussing quite a number of financial instruments that they are offering to the domestic market, understanding export credit insurance, trade credit insurance, as well as construction and bid bonds. Well, this has been another exciting episode of Business Unusual. Let's meet again again same time next week as we touch on other critical issues, various sectors of the domestic market, be it mining, tourism, agriculture, among so many other key strategic sectors of the economy. Let's meet again same time next week here on Business Unusual on ZFM Stereo, your number one station. My name is Takuzo Chisango. Let's meet again same time next week.